Turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew 24. There's some things I want to look at as I was praying about what to speak on. I have to warn you that I have been teaching for about 4 months now out of the book of Daniel. So prophetic scripture is running through my veins. But in Matthew 24, the Lord says this, beginning in verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, life was going on as usual. They didn't see any difference. Verse 39, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord would come. And if I were to title this message, besides the what on earth is happening, it would be, what are we watching for? As children of God, we are commanded to keep watch. What are we watching for? The Lord goes on from there and he says this, we don't know the day the Lord will come, but understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. About 15 years ago, the church my family and I were going to, the women set up in the foyer a big table. It was like a double card table. And they started putting together a jigsaw puzzle. And it was like a 1,000-piece jigsaw. It was huge. And every Sunday morning or Wednesday night or for the women's prayer meeting, the women would come by and plug in a piece. And it began to take shape. It began to look like something. And one day I was looking at it, and I was watching some of the women trying to put pieces in, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, this is the way it is with prophetic scripture. You're going to get a piece at a time. And the more pieces that I reveal, the more you'll be able to discern what that picture is. Besides looking at the lid of the box, you'll be able to discern that. Turn with me, if you would please, to Daniel chapter 8. I want you to look at three scripture in Daniel here, because I believe they're pertinent for today. The Lord spoke through Gabriel to Daniel in chapter 8 and verse 26, and he says this. And he was just explaining part of the vision. And that, I'm not going to get into the vision, but this was what the Gabriel said. The vision of the evening and the mornings that has been given you is true. But seal up the vision, for it concerns the future time. And in chapter 12, verse 4, the Holy Spirit says this through Daniel. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And the last one is also in chapter 12, and it is verse 8 and 9. I heard, but I did not understand, so I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all of this? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. If you look at those words up, seal up, it means to block or to keep from being disclosed. Obfuscate it. In other words, make it blurry so you can't fully understand that. And that's the way prophetic scripture is. It is like we look through a glass darkly, but then it becomes clearer and clearer the more events that take place in our lives. Another time the Lord spoke to me, I was cooking, and I'm trying to remember, I think it was spaghetti. I had the sauce in one pan, I'm boiling the water, and I put the pasta in. And if any of you, I'm sure the women have done this, you put it in, when it comes back to a boil, it wants to overboil. It wants to boil out. And I took and slid it off the front burner onto the back burner. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is the way I am with prophecy. He said, events will take place that people will get all excited about certain events. Take, for instance, May 15th, 1948, when Israel became a nation again. Prophetic scripture could not be fulfilled until that took place. Israel had to be a nation again. And when you slide that off that burner, it drops back down to a simmer. And throughout history, God has put things on the front burner and caused them to boil. And they get to a point, and then the Lord will slide it back off the burner. Now, I believe there are events taking place right now. And I watch these things because I have spent 45 years studying eschatology. And I believe that it's important as a warning to the church. Jesus said to keep watch. And these events that take place aren't to cause us to fear or to be upset. We're to look up because our redemption draws near. We're to be at peace and to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to point things out to us. I would like to take a look at an alignment of nations. If you would turn with me to Ezekiel 38, and we'll take a look at some prophecy here that was spoke through Ezekiel. And I'll give you some explanations of what the Lord has shown me and what I have found out. 38 verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, I want to stop there and say this. If keep your finger there and turn with me to Genesis chapter 10. Because in Genesis chapter 10, it's going to show us where these names came from. In Genesis chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the Lord says this. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. Verse 2, the son of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, and I'll drop down to the ones mentioned in Ezekiel, Tubal and Meshach. And on down to verse 3, Togomara. And then if you drop down, the sons of Ham were Cush and Put, Sheba and Dedan. The reason I point these out is because when they settled, the nations of the north went up to Rosh or Russia and settled, and up to Turkey, Togomara, and settled. The nations that settled in the south were from Ham, and they were, if you will, what we call today Muslim nations. Now, we have, I believe the Lord has slid things to the front burner right now, and it's cooking. Let me go on and read, beginning back in verse 4. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army. In other words, what's going to transpire is that they might not want to do it in their own understanding, but God is going to draw them into this, or cause them, if you will, to march out, and we'll see it's against Israel. So let's go on down and read some more. He says this, I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing swords. Now he switches to the southern kingdoms, and he says, Persia, Cush, and Put will be with them, and all with shields and helmets. Also, Gomer with its troops, and Beth Togomar from the far north with all of its troops, the many nations with you. Get ready and be prepared for all of the hordes gathered about you and take command of them. Now, let me go back up. I want to point something out that I learned reading the Jewish sages. If you look at the chief prince of Meshach, in the scripture, and we'll look at three of them from the book of Daniel again. A chief prince was a spiritual overseer of a nation. In other words, it had input into their direction. We've got to remember that God appoints kings and removes them. We also have to realize that a lot of the prophecy, especially the book of Daniel, centers around the wars that took place against Israel. Now, in the kings of the north and the kings of the south, the land bridge in between them, they had to go through Israel. So Israel bore the brunt of a lot of the wars between the king of the north and the kings of the south. But the chief princes were those that were in spiritual authority over these nations. And I want to look at those briefly here. Let's see. Look at Daniel 10. Go back to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. In chapter 10, it says this in verse 12 and 13. Now, this is Gabriel again. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourselves before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persia, of the Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. In the spiritual kingdom, God allots angels and or, according to the Jewish sages, fallen angels to direct nations for God's own purposes. If you read Rambam, if you read some of the other sages, that they speak of this. Another reference is over in the same chapter, verse 20. So he said to me, do you not know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. Now, the prince of Persia was the ruling authority in a positive and a negative sense, because we know that Cyrus allowed the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. But in a negative sense, because they had power over Israel that only God would allow them to have. So he's fighting this prince of Persia. And Persia was in authority at that time. But then it says, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them, the enemies of Israel, except Michael, your prince. And then in 12:1, it says this, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. So we see that God uses these heavenly powers, if you will, to accomplish his will and his purposes. Now, I believe that we see what's happening right now in the Middle East as something that, not only the Middle East, and I'm going to touch on that in a minute, but what's happening with Russia, I believe he's been drug out against his will. Nothing is going his way. And I believe it's for the purpose of the alignment of nations for what's coming upon the earth. Now, I want to also look at Psalm 83. I might refer back to Ezekiel 38 and 39. But in Psalm 83, this is an interesting psalm in this sense. Asaph wrote this. Asaph wrote three psalms, from 73 of Psalm to Psalm 83. He was described by the Lord in 2 Chronicles 29:30 as a seer. These are the only writings that we have of Asaph. The end of his writing, he writes Psalm 83. Now, when I point these out, like Ezekiel 38 and 39 or Psalm 83, these have not taken place yet. And as I read prophecy, I try to find things that haven't taken place and look and see how the alignment of nations has taken place. Let me give you an example, and I didn't write it down as a reference. But in Isaiah 17, it tells us in these last days, Damascus is going to be made a heap of ashes. That hasn't happened yet, Damascus, Syria. But it will happen because the Lord spoke it. So there's just certain things that we keep watch, if you will, and watch for. In Psalm 83, written by Asaph, he says this in verse 1. O God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet, O God, be not still. Now watch how Asaph begins to draw an association between the Jews and their God. See how your enemies are astir, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's their desire. But with one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you, the tents of Edom, the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarites, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, with the people of Tyre, even Assyria has joined them to lend strength to the descendants of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sarah and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like refuse on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all the princes of Zeba and Zemua, who said, let us take possession of the pasture lands of God. Make them like tumbleweed, O my God, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forests, or a flame sets the mountains ablaze, so pursue them with your tempest, and terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame, so that men will seek your name, O Lord. May they ever be ashamed and dismayed. May they perish in disgrace. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Now, what's interesting, this is also unfulfilled, that we have not seen this take place. These are 10 Muslim nations. I personally believe, and you don't have to accept this, that these are the 10 horns of Daniel 7, Revelations 13, and Revelations 17. I believe that these 10 Muslim nations are the 10 horns that the little horn will come out of. Now, again, I ask you, what are we watching for? If you look what's happening right now in Persia or Iran, everybody says they will have a nuclear weapon within 2 to 3 weeks. They have vowed to destroy Israel. They are mentioned in Ezekiel 38, Persia. If something happens to that effect, it could catapult us, the church, into what we understand as the last days. We also see what's taking place with Russia. Could Russia, in their, and I'm only hypothesizing this, in their evil desire with the Ukraine, which makes no sense, could they turn south, as Ezekiel says, to take a spoil? Now, I don't know how many of you keep up with this, but in 2017, Israel made the largest discovery of natural gas in the world. It's in the billions of cubic meters. And immediately after that, they cut a deal with Greece, Italy, and Crete, and they are building an underwater gas line, pipeline, if you will, to begin to supply Europe. Now, Russia, because of some foolish deals with the United States, has allowed them to build their gas line into Eastern Europe. And they're holding them hostage, especially in this cold weather. Could the spoil that Russia could turn south over be the natural gas that lies off the coast of Israel that they are building a pipeline to go to Europe? I'm just saying these are things that I watch, things that are transpiring right now. I watch these things to see what it's going to bring about. There's another thing, and I talked to Kurt about this, being a farmer. Russia supplies 80% of the world's fertilizer. 80%. If that was totally cut off, could that throw us into the opening of the... Turn to Revelation chapter 6. In the opening of the third seal, it says this: "When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like the voice among the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a day's wage, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wage, and do not danger the oil or the water.'" We're talking about famine here. If they cut off the world supply of fertilizer, our crop growth is going to sink. There are certain things that we need to keep watch for or watch over so that we can be aware of what's happening. There are kingdoms clashing right now. We know that the kingdom of Russia is clashing with the kingdom of Ukraine. We know that Persia is belching out threats against Israel and says they'll destroy them. It wouldn't take much of a linchpin to throw us into chaos in the world today. Now, I say all that, and I pray, and I pray this every day, that it does not generate fear in the body of Christ. It should cause us to hope. It should cause us to look up because we know that our redemption is drawing near. And in doing that, that should be an imperative upon us to use these events to witness to people, to alert them as to what's happening on the earth, the alignment of nations. I'm not making any predictions, and I'm not saying anything that would cause people to think it's next week or next year. I believe it's soon. I'm 75 or going on 76, and I believe I'll be alive when I see the Lord return, only because of the events that are taking place right now on the face of the earth. There are scripture that need to be fulfilled, and we need to recognize that. If Iran launched a missile and took out Jerusalem, I guarantee you Israel will respond. They will not sit in some meeting and twiddle their thumbs and wondering what's going to happen. We are going to see things transpire that we could never fathom in our minds. To think of a city like Damascus being wiped off the face of the earth and becoming a heap of rubble. To see the armies of the north and the armies of the south. If I made an overlay, and I just had a revelation of this maybe a month ago, I believe that what's happening is Russia heads south and Persia attacks and unites, if you will, the 10 Muslim nations in the south, I believe that Psalm 83 and 38 and 39 of Ezekiel could happen at the same time, or one catapult the other. And the church is going to find itself, I hope, not unawares, but watching and waiting for these things. So that when they happen, we go, oh, this is that spoken of by the prophets. I think that the world right now is like what we read about the time of Noah. They have no idea spiritually what's happening. They don't have a clue. And I believe that when we are caught into the tribulation period, that it'll shock, I hope not the church, but it's going to shock the world. And we know that when that transpires and the Lord comes for his people and we'll be caught up to be with him, and when does that take place? Let Jesus answer it in Matthew 24. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give forth its light, the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of great glory, and he shall send forth his angels to gather his elect from one end of heaven to the other, one end of earth to the other. But it will be before he pours out his wrath upon the face of the earth. When we are caught up, I believe we're going to see Zechariah take place when the Jews look up, the unsaved ones, and they look on him whom they've pierced and say, my Lord and my God. Or something we have on Tuesday night, our Bible study, we have a Jewish man in there who is now saved. He's a Messianic Jew. And I knew this, but I was so glad when he repeated it last Tuesday or the Tuesday before. There are more Messianic Jews in Ukraine than any other nation on earth. There are more Jews in Ukraine in every nation except Israel. This is why I believe that they are being dragged into this to set up the things that need to take place in these last days. There are ministries right now flying planes into the Ukraine and bringing them out by the hundreds. In the last church my wife and I were in, there was a ministry we supported, and our church paid at that time, it was over 250 Jews to make Aliyah out of the Ukraine and out of Russia to go back to Israel. We paid for their plane fares. We helped set them up in apartments, gave them pots and pans and food for a month, and helped them find jobs. We, as the church, I believe, have a responsibility, according to Genesis 15, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the nation of Israel, and for the Jewish people that are scattered throughout the earth. Why? Because the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says that the Jews were blinded in part for us so that we could be grafted in. We owe them a debt of gratitude. And I think that we need to hold them up in prayer, ask God to give them wisdom and to remove the spiritual scales from their eyes so that they might see Yeshua HaMashiach, their Messiah. We have an integral part to play in these last days, not only to witness to the lost, but to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jeremiah said that in these last days, he was going to send forth fishermen to gather the Jews. On my next to the last trip to Israel, I stayed in a hostel in the old city. And I would go up on the roof every morning and watch the sun come up. And I wasn't from here to the back of the parking lot from the Temple Mount. And every morning as the sun come up, I'm praying not only for the peace of Jerusalem, but I'm also praying for divine appointments. And the Lord, over that period of time, sent 56 people up to that roof for me to witness to and to share with. And one morning I was in prayer, and it was still real early. It wasn't all the way light yet. And I heard a woman crying. And I opened up my eyes, and I looked, and I said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she said, "I don't know why I'm here." And I said, "Well, if you got a minute, come over, and I'll tell you why you're here." She was from Russia, and she told me that she felt moved one day to get on a plane and fly to Israel. And I pointed out to her what the prophet Jeremiah said, that in these last days, God was going to send forth fishermen to fish for the Jewish people and to bring them home. He's also going to send out hunters. It was the next verse. And I said, "You have been brought back here because of the love of God. He loves you, and he cares for you." Well, as I talked with her, I came to the revelation. She told me that she said, the Jews that are still in Russia are not spiritual Jews, because Russia frowned on any kind of religion. So she said, I've come here, and she said, "I'm beginning to realize it's the Lord that brought me back." And I said, "He has a message for you about your Messiah. Your Messiah has come, and it is Jesus Christ." I said, "You need to find a good Messianic Jewish community and give your life to Jesus Christ." So I said all that to say this, is that there is so much that is happening. If we don't keep watch, things could slip by us to the point where we go, we're like the people on earth when Noah entered the ark. They did not know what was happening. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to find out what's happening spiritually, not only for the church, but individually. What does God want to do with us in these last days? I tell you, there's no greater calling than for you to be a book read of all people, that you show Christ to everybody around you, that you walk in love all the time. Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear. If you notice, either because of this message or some prophecy that you read, if you feel a spirit of fear coming, that's not God. That's the enemy trying to get you to avoid the truth. We need to walk in truth, walk in love, and there will not be a spirit of fear that overcomes us. But I believe that what we are seeing is the wrap-up, the, if you will, Act 4. And we're going to see, I believe, the conclusion of things. And like I said, I'm over 75 years old. And I believe I'll be alive to see the Lord return. And it's because I have a desire to. I have a desire to be used by God, to share with people about his kingdom, but also to share with the church about prophecy that we see being fulfilled. Don't be blind. Don't turn yourself off to what's happening, because everything that happens, there is a spiritual reason behind it. In our home meeting today, we're going to cover Daniel chapter 11. I hope to finish it, 11 and 12. But what's interesting in 11 and 12, or let me back up to 10, because the Lord, through Gabriel, told Daniel, these things must take place. These wars are because of the Jewish people. And that's why I'm going to use today Josephus, because Josephus, over half of his works, it says that these are the wars of Israel. And that's what takes place in part of the weaning for them and the preparation for what takes place later. But brothers and sisters, I want to pray, and I pray that we do not have any fear about what's happening, and that you attune your spirit. so that you can hear what the Spirit is saying to you and that you can read these prophecies. When the Lord told Daniel three times, seal them up until the time of the end, what we are seeing is things being made more clear. The puzzle is fitting together faster and faster and faster. And we're going to draw some conclusions that will astound us. I also believe that if you take a cross-section of the body of Christ, you're going to find disagreement concerning prophecy. I believe that disagreement is going to begin to fade away as we get revelation of these last days and the picture becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. I still talk to people and witness to people, and here again, I don't want to sow any discord, but that believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe the enemy deceives us and blinds us to things. Jesus himself said, immediately after the tribulation of these days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give forth its light. There is a scriptural answer for all the pet beliefs that people have concerning the end times. I believe it behooves us to get into the Word, to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Because I don't want to be caught unaware. I have a spiritual responsibility to my family and to those that I witness to our home meeting, to just alert them. Keep watch, Jesus said. Keep watch. Let's pray.